Have a shiur in honor of Shavuos. We're going to have a shiur on Megillas Rus, and I want to talk about a couple of interesting aspects and important things that we should know about the reading of Megillas Rus. So the source of this practice to read Megillas Rus on Shavuos really comes from Maseches Sofrim. So it's a very early source where we're told that we have the practice on Pesach, on Shavuos, and on Sukkot that we read the various Megillas. We read Koheles, we read Rus, and we read also Shir HaShirim. Thank you. So those are basically the practices that we have in many of our communities. Now, should a bracha be recited before we read Megillas Rus or before we read Megillas Shir HaShirim? As we know, we have Megillas Esther on Purim, and we all have the practice to recite a bracha. So why should Rus or Shir HaShirim be any different? Or perhaps they should not be different. So let's read. The Rama actually addresses this point in his Tshuva Sefer. In Siman Lamed Hey, the Rama talks about whether or not there should be a bracha recited on the reading of the Megillas on the rest of the Yamim Tovim. Says the Rama as follows, Asher Sha'alta Yedidi, you, my friend, have asked the following, Kasavti, I wrote, Shanoagim Likro Shir HaShirim Bepes, that we all have the practice to read Shir HaShirim on Pesach. Verus b'Shavuos v'Koheles b'Sukkos. Now, number one, you see that the Tshuva HaRama was written after the Rama's commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, because over here he says that somebody sent him a question on what he already wrote on the Rama's Shulchan Aruch. That's what I just noticed. Interesting. So he says, I wrote that we have the practice to lay in the Megillas on the various Yamim Tovim. V'ha'am nagu shelo levarech lo al mikra Megillah v'lo al mikra k'suvim. We don't make a bracha on reading these Megillas. We don't make any kind of bracha. Uva Maharil Kasav, however, the Maharil, one of the Gedolei Chachmei Ashkenaz, who lived in Germany, who is what the Rama bases a lot of his Psak Halacha on, the Maharil writes, you should make a bracha on Mikra Megillah, just like we make a bracha on Purim when we lay in Megillah Esther. So he asked the Rama, why is it that we don't recite a bracha? Maybe we should be reciting a bracha. So the Rama goes through three different answers there, but ultimately the Rama writes as follows. Hatam Haravi, the fourth reason why I feel there should be no bracha on the Mikra Megillah on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot is because the Iker Hu Be'enai, this I feel is the real reason. To Alfim Nomar, even if you're going to say, to Yesh Lebarach Alayhu, even if you want to argue that perhaps we should be reciting a bracha, V'shelazen is Kavnu Masecha Sofrim. When the Masecha Sofrim told us that we should read the Megillas on the rest of the Yamim Tovim, they had in mind that not only should you read it, you should also recite brachas like on Purim, when we lay in the Megillas Esther. Hainu Davka, says the Rama, that's only Kishem Ksuvim Kitikna. That's only when they're written the right way with the klaf, Biklafim Uvim Megillos. Kimoshahaya Derech Hasvarim Harishonim Ksuvim Biglido Ksefer Torah. Says the Rama, even if you want to argue that perhaps a bracha should be recited on the Megillah, that's only when you have a real kosher Megillah. However, the Rama says, Ava B'chumashim Shalanu. But in our chumashim, we don't lain from a scroll. We don't lain from something that has parchment and all the ink. We lain from the back of a chumash. Says the Rama, "V'chumashim shalanu ein levar chalayu." There's no reason for us to make a bracha. Delo adifi mimegilas Esther shekasvu harbe mina rishonim sheim kora v'chumash shekore yosa v'lo bracha v'chein pasik ha hakaro. That is Rabbi Yosef Karo. V'kol shekim mimegilas Eder. So what does the Rama tell us? On Purim itself, let's say I'm on a desert island, and I happen not to have a Megillah with me. All I have is my cell phone, so I'm going to Google it. I'm going to lay in the Megillah. What am I supposed to do? Do I make a bracha on Mikra Megillah? No. Why not? Because you don't have a kosher Megillah. But it doesn't mean that I should go the whole day without laying a Megillah, so I should read it from my cell phone. At least I'll have something. I'll record, I'll remind myself of the story of Mordechai and Achashverosh and the whole story that took place at the time. But you do not recite a bracha because you're not reading from a klaf. Therefore, says the Rama, that would be the same over here. Even if you believe that a bracha should be recited, it definitely should not be recited on the communities that lain from a chumash. That's what the Rama says. Mikamakum, says the Rama. Yesh lahochiach, I still can prove she'ein levarech ha-megillas elu. Yes, there are opinions in both directions, but the Rama says, I don't think it's correct that you should make a bracha. If really, in fact, the halacha was that you're supposed to make a bracha when you read these Megillas, what do you mean? Before Purim, we're all worried. Whose Megillah are we going to use, and how many Megillahs do we have, and do we have enough to go to the hospital and the nursing homes and everything? We're all upside down about it. How come you never heard of anybody who's all worried before Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot? Do we have a kosher Arus, a kosher Shir HaShirim, and an Eicha for Tisha B'Av? Nobody's so careful about this. Nobody's so worried. How come, says the Rama, if we're losing out on the bracha, and that's the only way we can recite a bracha, how come we're not careful? It must be, says the Rama, that really a bracha is not required. Because if a bracha was required, we would go out of our way and really stand on our heads to make sure we had a kosher Megillah in order to recite the bracha. So says the Rama, Umidilama Hajrina Nalayu Klal, from the fact that we don't find in any of our communities that we're so scrupulous, that we're so careful to go and find ourselves a kosher Megillah, Shma Mina, it's a clear indication, She'ein Haminig Levarech Alayhu. It must be that we do not have the practice to make a bracha on the Mikra Megillah, and Mikal Eila Nira, says the Rama, very interesting line, from all this it would seem, to Yoser Yesh Lachush Lebracha She'ein Atzricha, Mimash Yesh Lachush Shalo Levarech. If you have two options, to perform a mitzvah without making a bracha, or to perhaps violate the yisra of making a bracha levatela, bracha she'ena tzricha, says the Rama, I would far prefer to perform the mitzvah without making a bracha than to run the risk of perhaps violating the yisra of making a bracha levatela. And therefore he says, we should choose the option of not making a bracha at all, and this is in fact our basically our minhag in most of our communities is, like the Rama says in Siman Taf Tzadi, that we lay the Megillahs on the Yom Tovim, but we do not recite a bracha. Oh, so the Magen Avraham disagrees. The Magen Avraham says, hey, Rama, you might be correct that you feel you shouldn't make a bracha, but why aren't you mentioning that there are others who disagree with you? So in the Tshuva, the Rama does mention it, but the Magen Avraham points out on Shulchan Aruch that the Levush and the Bach and the Rekdoli Acharonim who felt that a bracha should be recited on the Megillah. And the Vilna Gaon writes in the Maisa Rav, and in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch as well, that you should recite two brachas when you lain from a kosher Megillah. You should recite number one, Al Mikra Megillah, and number two, Shechiyanu. The same way you would lain Shechiyanu, you would make a Shechiyanu on every other mitzvah you perform, which is Bam Yizman Lezman, comes periodically. So on these, reading of the Megillos on Pesach Shavuos Sukkot, we should do the very same. That's the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, of the Lavush, of the Bach, but we all generally follow the Rama. I remember why you make, say, Shavuos program. So the first year that we made a Shavuos program, my father told me, make sure that you get a kosher Megillah, because if we're having a big tzibur here, you should make sure that we have a kosher Megillah that we can lane from. Then it comes, so we got a kosher Megillah, we spent a lot of money to buy the Megillah. Then we come on the program, and it gets up to Rus, and some of the Rabbeim were getting into big disagreement. What are we supposed to do? Now that we have a kosher Megillah, generally in our shuls we don't have a kosher Megillah. Now the Rav Shechter made us get a kosher Megillah. Should we follow the Magen Avraham, who quotes the Levush and the Bach and the Vilna Gaon, and make a bracha? Or should we follow the Psak of the Ramasim and Tav Tzadi and not recite a bracha? So the Psak was that, I don't know who made the Psak, it was not my father, but that year they did recite a bracha, I remember. They made a bracha, number one, of Al Mikra Megillah, number two, of Shechiyanu. That's what they did. They followed the Minhag Agra. Well, Wayu follows a lot of the Minhagim of the Gra, so maybe that was why. But in most of our shuls, I think we don't generally lane from a kosher klav, so this question really is not so relevant. There is, yeah?
It's just interesting. Is it a question that you make the bracha on a minhag, or is it, in other words, the argument that that the Rama is saying is, oh, they didn't do it, otherwise, if people would have done it, then we would have known about it, right? He doesn't state a reason why you don't do it.
No, he gives three reasons before. Why not? The fourth reason is because we don't lane from a klaf. And he says, if it would be so important to make a bracha, then we would all make sure to get a klaf. So it must be that we don't.
Right, but that's circular.
It's backwards a little bit, but that's the rationale that the Rama gives. Yeah.
For those people who read Shechir every Friday night, would they make a Shechiyanu on Shechir?
Yeah, because that's not a kiyum of the mitzvah. If you lay Megillah Esther every day of the year, right now is the mitzvah to lay the Megillah, right? Okay, so now let's go. Yeah?
But isn't the, you could ask the separate question, is the Shechiyanu on the reading of the Megillah or of the reading of the Megillah up with a klav?
Well, if you assume that the real mitzvah is supposed to be done with reading from a klav, so how can you recite a Shechiyanu? Let's say I'm supposed to say a Shechiyanu when I light my Hanukkah.
Shechiyanu because we're reading from a kosher Megillah?
Yeah. You wouldn't recite a bracha if you weren't really learning from a kosher Megillah. You would... Let's say again, what we said before, if you were on a desert island on Purim, and all you had was your cell phone and you're just reading, you wouldn't recite a Shachiyanu, because you're not really performing the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done. It's a good question. So now, we have in the Gemara in a couple of instances where the Gemara tells us that you have a mitzvah d'oraisa that you're supposed to perform, but midrabanan, they came along and they said you're not supposed to do it under these circumstances. For example, you're supposed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, what does the Gemara tell us? No shofar. Why not? Shema yavi renu daladams v'shesarabim. We're concerned every so often you have a Baal Terkeiah who doesn't really know how to blow so well. So you're going to go, the Baal Terkeiah is going to take the shofar, run into the street, violate the Yisra of Hutzah on Shabbos, in order that somebody, the expert, can go teach him how to blow the shofar. So the Gemara says, you know what? The Chacham came along and said, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, no blowing shofar on Shabbos. And similarly, if Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, no shaking the Dalaminim on Sukkot. Why? Because Shema Yavi Renu. Maybe you're going to carry it outside, you're not going to realize there's no Eruv, and that's why we're concerned. Don't take the Dalaminim on Sukkot, Shechalias B'Shabbos at all. So, the Tosis Yantav asks a very famous question. If we have this consideration of Shema Yavi Renu, and we're worried that maybe people are going to start carrying things all over the place, why don't we worry also about Kriyas HaTorah every Shabbos? If the Baal Terkeiah were concerned, maybe he's going to take the shofar and carry it to the expert to teach him how to blow, why aren't you worried that maybe the Baal Kori every Shabbos, we've all seen, a Baal Kori gets up, he doesn't know what he's doing, maybe he's going to run out of shul with the Sefer Torah, and he's going to go to the expert to teach him how to lane. He realizes, oh, he didn't realize it was my turn to lane this week, he runs out of shul, he's going to quickly teach himself how to do it, and then he's going to come back. Why do we have Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos? That's the question that the Tosfos Yontif raises. Shouldn't that fall under the same category as all these other mitzvahs? Shofar, lulav, all these things, you're concerned Shema Yavi Renu. What about Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos? Very strong question. So a couple of approaches that are given by the Achronim is, number one, even when we get rid of Tkiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you're not getting rid of the whole din of Tkiyas Shofar. It's only that if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then that year you're not going to blow Shofar on one of the days of Rosh Hashanah. If we would get rid of Kriyas HaTorah, there would never be Kriyas HaTorah again. Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos is a takana that's a very old takana. If you're going to get rid of it because Shema Yavi Renu, that's it. No more Kriyas HaTorah. So you can't do that. You can't make a gzera where you're totally going to wipe out a din entirely. So that's what some Achronim say. Other Achronim say perhaps the answer is that Tosfos writes in Megillah Daf Dalet, why don't we have a concern? Why are you allowed to do Bris Milah on Shabbos? You're allowed to do Bris Milah even when it falls out on Shabbos. Why aren't you concerned? Maybe someone's going to go and carry the stuff somewhere else. Maybe someone's going to violate the din just like by Lulav, just like by Shofar. So Tosis gives a few answers, but the first answer Tosis gives is, the reason why we're not concerned is because there's no mile that would take upon himself to do a Bris Milah if he doesn't know what he's doing. What? Right. You won't hire such a mile. So what's the concern? Maybe he's not going to know what he's doing. He's going to run with his instruments to the expert model to get some training on Shabbos morning. It's not going to happen. You would never have such a case. So since that case is never going to happen, therefore we don't make Xavier. Says the Tosfos Yontif, the same applies over here. Who in their right mind would ever get up and agree to be a Baal Kori on Shabbos if they don't know what they're doing? So I don't know. Tosfos Yontif doesn't know where we live. In our generation, we have plenty of those. But I guess in the days of the Tosfos Yontif, he couldn't imagine such a thing. Who would ever get up on a Shabbos and open up the Sefer Torah not knowing what he's doing? No such thing. Not feasible. Impossible. And therefore he says that would follow the logic of Tosfos and Megillah, that when you have somebody who knows what he's doing, there's nothing to be concerned of because he's not going to carry it anywhere. Okay, so that answer is questionable in our generation. There's somebody now in our shul, actually, who's making, I don't know if any of you saw this, it was a brilliant idea that he had. He came to show it to my father. My father thought it was fine. He bought this, not plastic, it's something like plastic. I don't know exactly what the material is. And he folded over the top. So basically it not clips on, but it folds over the column on the Sefer Torah. And he made all the nekudos on this plastic thing, and he just put the sheet directly over the Sefer Torah. So he said it used to be a Sefer Torah. Every Sefer Torah was made different sizes, and the letters were different. But now, most of the Sefer Torah that are made for the last 10 years and going forward are all going to be exactly the same because they're all following some computer system that somebody devised that makes it look just perfect, just beautiful. He said, now that we all have Sefer Torah that are the same size, he can make a business out of this. He's going to start making all of these dots, and he wanted to know, are you able to do it? So far he has it only for the first Aliyah on many of the Parshios and Bereishis, because it takes him forever to make the dots and everything with all the trup. It's not so easy. He has the trup also, yeah. But he asked my father, am I able to do it? He said, how many times have we come to shul on a Monday or Thursday, somebody gets up, makes a total fool out of himself, makes a fool out of the minyan, it's a bizayin HaTorah. He says, wouldn't we far prefer, instead of having this joke of a Kriyas HaTorah, to put the plastic over the Sefer Torah, if it's permissible, to put the plastic over the Sefer Torah. It's not covering any of the letters. He did it in a perfect way. He knows how to do it right. And to allow ourselves to have somebody lay like a mensch. So my father thought it was fine. It's a very fascinating idea. I'm curious to see if he'll market it. But anyway, the Tosas Yontif writes that he believes the answer is, why is it that we only have Gzeira Shemi Avirenu by Shofar and by Lulav and not by Kriyas HaTorah? He says, very simple, very simple. What's the fundamental difference between Shofar and Lulav on the one hand and Kriyas HaTorah on the other hand? One thing, okay. It's not what he says, but that's a good answer.
It refers to a personal item.
Oh! Shofar and lulav is something every individual person has an obligation to do. It's an individual obligation. If I'm, God forbid, stuck in the hospital, you still got to blow shofar, you still have to figure out how to get yourself a dalim, unless it's an emergency and you can't. But anyway, generally we assume each individual person has to do it. When you're putting something into the hands of every individual person, then you have to be concerned. Maybe you're going to carry it, maybe she's going to carry it, maybe this is going to go wrong, that's going to go wrong, all sorts of considerations. But when we're dealing with a global obligation, when we're dealing with a communal obligation, so we communally have to lane from the Sefer Torah. So what's going to happen? We're going to get up to lane. We're going to say, Yankel, it's your turn to lane. What's happening? So he's going to say, oh yeah, totally forgot. He's going to pick up the Sefer Torah, run out of shul, and no one in the shul is going to realize. No one's going to stop him and say, hey, there's no Erev outside, you're not allowed to carry that. The Gemara says a concept, Rabim Matkariya Adadi. When you have a big tzibur that's involved in something, always, inevitably, someone's going to remind somebody else. You never have a chazan, I would hope. We never have a chazan who's going to forget Yalav Yavo in the Chazar Sashatz. Why? Because somebody's going to scream out at him, Alanisim, Yalav Yavo. Even if an individual might forget, there's no way that a whole tzibur, unless everyone's sleeping, there's no way a whole tzibur is going to forget. So that's the same over here, says the Tosas Yontif. Since Lulav and Esrog and Shofar is an individual obligation, there the Gemara says you have to be concerned, so we make Gzeira Shemi Avirenu. But when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, which is a Chovas HaTzibur, that's a communal obligation, there, says the Tosas Yontif, we don't have a reason to make a Takana to make Gzeira because somebody in the community is always going to remember. Now, this is subject to a major debate. Is that true that Kriyas HaTorah is only a communal obligation? What happens if I had to use the men's room in the middle of davening? I missed the whole Kriyas HaTorah, now I come back. Do I have to wait around for the next minyan to hear Kriyas HaTorah? Well, what if I miss Shofar and Rosh Hashanah? Well, it's your obligation to make it up. What if I miss Lulav and Esrog one day? I have to make it up later on in the day. What if I miss Kriyas HaTorah? Do I have to make it up? And it's very relevant of a question now. In Eretz Yisrael, when they're one parsha off, so if I somehow get myself stuck in the mess and I was in Eretz Yisrael or here or whatever it is, I'm dizzy, but wherever you are and you miss a parsha in one direction, do I have to make it up? So the simple understanding is of most of the Acharonim that no, because Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaTzibur, it's a communal obligation, it's not an individual obligation. As long as the community makes sure to keep up with the parshios, even if you may have missed it, it's good enough. However, Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that he felt it was a individual obligation. Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYachid. And the same way Shofar, the same way Lulav is an individual obligation, so to Kriyas HaTorah is also an individual obligation. This is why Rav Soloveitchik used to travel a lot from Boston back to New York and New York back to Boston. So he used to miss a lot of Kriyas HaTorahs because he would fly in perhaps on a Monday morning and fly back on a Thursday. He would miss Kriyas HaTorah along the way. He would daven b'yichidus in the airport. And my father said over that when Rav Soloveitchik used to come to Shir, very often they daven mincha after Shir, he would pull out a Sefer Torah, even though he was the only one in the room that didn't lane that day, but he felt it's a Chovas HaYachid, and the only way that the Yachid can fulfill his obligation is in the context of a Tzibur. I can't lane by myself, I have to have a Tzibur here, but the Tzibur doesn't have to be obligated to do it. Right, so you can still argue it's not the same, but basically this is touching on a major machlokas, whether or not it's a Chovas HaYachid or a Chovas HaTzibur. So in the bottom of the Sefer Maisa Rav is a Sefer of all the Anhagas of the Vilna Gaon. So there's a perush on the side there called the Pu'ula Sachir. So the Pu'ula Sachir says he asked the Vilna Gaon the following question. If you believe that reading the Megillas on the Yamim Tovim is a real obligation, and it goes so far that you even have to recite a bracha, that's how seriously you take it, how come Chazal were concerned Shemei Avirenu? We always lay it on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Why aren't we concerned? The same way shofar, the same way lulav, why aren't we concerned over here as well? So what would you say? Based on the Tosis Yantit, the Vilna Gaon answered the following. The Vilna Gaon answered, no. The obligation of reading the Megillus on the Yom Tovim is not an individual obligation. The obligation of reading the Megillus is a communal obligation. And the same way the Tosis Yantit says, Rabbi Madkariya Adadi, when you have a whole community, no one's going to make the mistake to carry it outside because someone's going to remind them. So to over here, by reading Megillah, this is not considered a individual obligation, this is considered a communal obligation, which would make a tremendous nafkamina lahalacha. What if I miss the laning of the Megillah? For whatever reason. I came late to shul, I'm setting up the kiddush, whatever, my kid is running around, I take them outside. Do I have to make sure later on to read the Megillah on my own? Well, by Megillas Esther on Purim, you would say, of course, if you miss it, you miss it. You got to go do it again. But over here, based on what the Vilna Gaon explains, even if you assume that a bracha should be recited, it doesn't mean that it's my individual mitzvah. It just means that our community as a whole has a mitzvah to lay in the Megillas on the given Yom Tov. Okay, so far so good? Now let's move a little bit further. So when do we lay in the Megillah? When do we lay in the Megillah? At what point in the davening? After Shachris. Before Kriyas HaTorah. When do we lay in Megillas Esther? After Kriyas HaTorah. So that's number one. What's with that discrepancy? How come when it comes to Megillas Esther, you lay in afterward? When it comes to the Megillas on Yom Tov, we lay in the Megillah before we do the Kriyas HaTorah. What's that about? Number two, it seems to go against the basic principle of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir. Kriyas HaTorah is something we do every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, every day, every Monday and Thursday. Megillus is something we do sporadically throughout the year. Kriyas HaTorah is a real takana. Megillah is something that's a minug. To lay the Megillus on the Yom Tov. A takana, kadu midrabanan, should certainly come before a little minug that we have to lay the Megillus. So what's the story here? How can we lay Rus, Shirashir, and Koheles before the Kriyas HaTorah, whereas Megillus has to be laid afterward? And furthermore, why is it that we go against the principles of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir? So this is a question that was asked by the Haderes and by other Gedolim. The answers they gave were not sufficient at all. By their own admission. It's not my saying. They said, maybe this, maybe that. They didn't like it. In the end of the day, they say, V'tzar Achid. We don't know what the answer is. Rav Soloveitchik, what?
You could ask Sammy about Musaf after laning.
That what?
Yeah, should Musaf come first before Minhag?
Okay, but we're comparing the lanings for now. So Rav Soloveitchik came up with a very...
The only thing is, it just because it's the laning, not the specific laning, the Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, that still comes under...
So nowadays, we lane one parsha a week, but that didn't used to be the practice. Practice used to be that they would lane, it would take them 3 years to finish a cycle. They would have Simchas Torah every third year.
Right, but I'm just talking about the laning is different. Is the Tadir V'Sheino Tadir because of the laning, the concept of laning versus not laning?
Yeah.
Or I think we're applying the specific laning maybe.
No. What do you mean? We don't lane the same parsha every week.
I know.
But this is all part of the same takana, to lane on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The act of laning. Yeah. So that's the question that they're bothered with. So listen to an absolutely brilliant, novel idea by Rav Soloveitchik, totally out of left field. Totally out of left field. It's amazing. Brilliant shot. So we have a Mishnah, Masechet Shabbos, Kuftes Vav Amud Aleph. Let's learn together. Mishnah says, what happens if a fire breaks out in somebody's house? God forbid a fire breaks out in somebody's house. So, we're not talking about a case where it's going to catch fire to other places and it's going to cause a serious danger to people's lives. Obviously, you put the fire out. Okay? We're talking about a case where I live in a desert island and, okay, my house will burn down. I'm going to lose a lot of money. But it's not going to be a danger to anybody's life, if you can imagine such a case. That's what the Gemara is talking about. So what am I allowed to do? I can't put out the fire. That's a malacha d'araisa mechabe. So what am I supposed to do? So the Gemara says, well, if we're going to let you go into the house and take everything out, maybe you're going to make a mistake after you're schlepping and doing everything. You're just going to go and put the fire out. You're going to forget already that it's Shabbos. So we're not going to let you take everything out. But there's no reason to say you're not allowed to take anything out. So the Gemara says, here's the guideline. Call Kisvei HaKodesh. Somebody's house is on fire. You're allowed to run in and all the Kisvei HaKodesh. What's Kisvei HaKodesh? Svarim. You're allowed to go in and get all the Svarim. Matzilin osam epnei adaleka. You're allowed to save them, to salvage them from the flames. Bein shekorin bahem, uvein she'ein korin bahem. So what exactly does that mean? Meaning, we all got wonderful bar mitzvah presents. And we got all these kinds of svarim that we never use. So is that what the Mishnah means? You're allowed to salvage not only the Gemara and the Chumash that you use every day, but you're allowed to take even the set of Pnei Yeshua that you never look in since your bar mitzvah. Is that what the Gemara means? What is the Mishnah talking about? You're allowed to save the svarim from your house, whether they're svarim that you use or svarim that you don't use. What's the Chiddush? Of course, they're svarim. You don't want them to burn. What does this mean? So we'll see. Even if all I have in the house is an article set of Gemara, and all I have is the English side of it, all the Hebrew side is not there, still says the Gemara. That's still called a Sefer. That's the Brit Torah, so you're allowed to save that as well. Mipnei ma'in korim behem. What does that mean? You have svarim in your house that you don't read. What? So the Gemara says, Mipnei bitul beis medrash. There's a category of svarim that I have in my house that I'm not allowed to read because it's going to cause me bitul Torah. I challenge you. You think of a sefer, meaning if you're talking about a novel, that's going to cause bitul Torah, but that's not a sefer. So what are we talking about? We're talking about a sefer that you don't read because it's going to cause you bitul Torah. So what kind of sefer is that? How do you call that a sefer? Any ideas? Oh, so we're getting there. So 1 second, we're going to get there. So Rashi explains as follows. Let's read Rashi together. Bein shekorim behem, what are the svarim that we read? What's the Gemara referring to? Kegon neviim, like the Navi, which unfortunately we don't read, but okay. Shemaftirim behem b'shabbos v'beis ha-knesses. So the shul goes up in flames. Right away you can run in, pull out all the neviim. That's what we use all the time. That's what everybody reads. Good. What does the Mishnah mean? You're even allowed to save the svarim that we don't read? Those are ksuvim. So you're allowed to save both Nevi'im and Ksuvim, but you're only allowed to read the Svarim on Nevi'im, but you can't read the Svarim on Ksuvim. What does that mean? Isn't Ksuvim also a part of the Torah? So Rashi continues and he says, Rabbeinu HaLevi Amar, Da'afili Yechidim Ein Korim Bahem. No one's allowed to read the Ksuvim. Kediktani Taima Mishum Bitul Beis Medrash, Demashchi Lavo. What exactly does that mean? B'Shabbos, how you darshan drasha lebalabatim she'oskim b'malacha kol yom osachol. During the week, everyone was working hard. At nights, they had no lights outside, so nobody was able to come to a shir at night. So what are you going to do? You're going to give a shir at 6 o'clock in the morning? They used to go to work from 6 o'clock in the morning till it got dark outside. That was it. So when are you going to give the shir? Shabbos. That's the only time they were able to teach the balabatim in the community. That's what Rashi says. So they had this big shir on Shabbos morning, when the rabbi used to give all the halachas that everybody had to know. Every Shabbos, that was the big time to teach Torah. They would teach them all of Yeridaya. That was the only time to teach everybody. That's what they had to do. Now, this idea of having a drasha, a shir on Shabbos, is not Rashi's invention. This is already the Medrash in the beginning of Parashas Vayakel. The Medrash says, Vayakel Moshe's kaladas b'nei Yisrael v'yamar aleihem. Eila hadvar mashatziva Hashem la'asoso sam. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers everybody in. The Medrash writes over there, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Asei lecha kihilos gedolos udrosh lefneim berabim hilchos Shabbos. Your job, Moshe Rabbeinu, is to get kihilos together and teach them hilchos Shabbos. And this is kedei sheyilmudu mimcha daros habayim, in order that all future generations should learn from the lead of Moshe Rabbeinu, lahakil b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos v'lichnos bebatei midrashos lelamed ulahoris liyisrael divrei Torah. So this is already an old custom, that we have a drush on Shabbos morning, a shir that's going to teach the halachas, not just going to say, all about all the New York Times and the history. No, you got to really teach people, because Shabbos morning is the time when everyone's in shul, captive audience. You got to make sure to use the opportunity well. That's what the Medrash tells us there in Parshas Vayakel. Not only that, in the Sefer Mate Ephraim, on the bottom of the page, they have a commentary called Ktzei HaMate or Elef HaMate, one of those two. He has the following. In Siman Tav Reish Beis, he writes that it's documented that in Tzfat, so who lived in Tzfat in the heyday of Tzfat? The Beis Yosef lived there, and the Arizal, this was an amazing place. So who was the Rav? Who was the community rabbi? So the community rabbi was the Alshich. So I'm not one to judge, but the Elef Lamata writes that basically it was like the young Israel rabbi was the Alshich. right? So he's the nobody. I don't mean the nobody. I just mean in comparison to Rabbi Eliashiv, the young Israel rabbi is a nobody, right? So you have in the community, you have in Svat, you have the young Israel rabbi is the Alshich, who's not bad, but you have the Beis Yosef and the Arizal are his Balabatim. So it's like pretty uncomfortable. Like somebody told me they were once in Alon Shvut, and the shul rabbi is Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon, who's a great Talmud Chacham, but he's nowhere near Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, but Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was one of his Balabatim. What are you going to do? So he used to sit there in the shul. So it's uncomfortable. But the Elif Lamata writes that in his community, I'm sorry, it's documented that in Svat, the Beis Yosef and the Arizal used to make sure to come to the drasha of the Alshich. Why? Because this is an old minig. And even if you're a big Talmud Chacham, you have to come to the drasha to show that this is something that's important for our community. That's what they write. And keep in mind that the Alshich was a musmach of the Beis Yosef. He was a Talmud of his. He was probably a better speaker, so he became the rabbi, right? But the Beis Yosef was the Beis Yosef. And still, he used to go out of his way to go to the drasha because this is something that's very important. In fact, the Gemara says in Gittin, there were families that were great Balei Chasadim, and they used to give a lot of tzedakah, and still, the Gemara says that they lost Nachti Balabayis Minichseihon. They lost all of their money. And the Gemara asks, what did they do wrong? Why did they lose their money? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, Dekavi Sudasayu B'Shabbos B'idam B'Midrasha. Because they used to go and have a Suda Shabbos in the middle of the rabbi's drasha. What do you mean? But I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. What's so bad about that? I'm not just skipping the rabbi's drasha to go talk Lashon Hara. I'm skipping the rabbi's drasha because I want to have a nice Shabbos meal. No. But that's not the proper time to do it. In fact, the Magen Avraham writes, if the rabbi gives the shir on Shabbos, and you realize that you didn't eat Shalosh Shudas yet, says the Magen Avraham, forget the Shalosh Shudas. It's better to stay in the shir and forget the Shalosh Shudas. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Even though Shalosh Shudas is learned out from a pasuk, Hayom, 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 we learn out Shalosh Shudas. So it's a real thing. So a drasha on Shabbos is not to be taken lightly. It's a very old minhag. So Rashi says, so what happened? They used to have this big shiur on Shabbos afternoon where the rabbi used to give over the halachos and the drashos and everything. It was a great time for everybody. Therefore, Rashi ends off, go back to Rashi, Tov lahem l'shmoa mikros b'ksuvim. So the Chachamim came along and said, how are we going to make sure to encourage everybody to come to the shiur? You know what? We're going to make an isser. You're not allowed to read the novels in ksuvim. Because they understood that people are going to get so carried away with the stories in ksuvim. They're so amazing. They're so interesting. Now, most of us have never learned ksuvim at all. But ksuvim is so interesting. In the times of the Gemara, they said, there's an isser to read ksuvim on Shabbos because we're afraid you're going to get too carried away and you're not going to come to the rabbi's drasha. So ksuvim is off limits. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara goes in, we don't have enough time, but you'll read it on your own. The Gemara goes into discussion, when does this apply? Is it only during the rabbi's drasha? Is it even after he's done? Whatever, a whole discussion basically. But the Gemara comes to the conclusion that they made a din derabanan. You're not allowed to learn ksuvim on Shabbos because the stories are too interesting. And you're going to get so into the story, you're not going to show up to the rabbi's shir. Now, number one, the Gemara calls it over here, mipnei bitul beis hamedrash. Now, that's exactly the point you made. The Beis Ephraim, one of the Gedolim in the 1800s, pointed out, what do you mean? That's bitul Torah? You're going to say, you shouldn't learn ksuvim on Shabbos because it's a bizayin to the rabbi. That would have made sense. No? The rabbi's giving a shir, you're not showing up. Yeah, you have a good excuse, but it's not respectful to the rabbi. I would hear that. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says you're not allowed to learn the stories in Ksuvim on Shabbos because it's going to cause bittul Torah, because you're not going to go to the rabbi's shir. What do you mean? So I have option one is to go to the rabbi's shir. Option two is I'm not sitting home doing nothing and taking a nap. I'm sitting home reading Ksuvim. I'm learning Torah Hashem. So what's bittul Torah about that? So Beis Ephraim says, you see from here, that bittul Torah doesn't mean the amount of minutes, the amount of hours. Bittul Torah is also be'echus, in the quality of the learning that you do. If you have the ability to learn on this level, to go to the rabbi's shir is going to teach Torah and give you a better understanding, and instead you forego that and you just sit there and read, rattle off the psukim and ksuvim and read the stories, that's called bittul Torah for you, because you can be doing much better. Because you could be accomplishing more. You can be understanding a deeper appreciation of the Torah. And from the fact that you're selling yourself short, says the Beis Ephraim, that's called bittul Torah, which is a tremendous chiddush. And when you think about it, the Beis Ephraim writes, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Mivatlin Talmud Torah leMikra Megillah. We close down all the yeshivas when it's Purim time because we want everyone to go hear the Mikra Megillah. So all the Achronim, they're asked, the Rashash and the Maram Shiv, everybody asks the same question. Mivatlin Talmud Torah leMikra Megillah, that's called bittul Torah when you close down the yeshiva to go hear the Megillah. Isn't that also Talmud Torah? Either you're going to learn in the yeshiva Blat Gemara or you're going to go listen to the Megillah. It's also considered Talmud Torah. So what's Why is that called Mevatel Talmud Torah? Says the Beis Ephraim, because if you were learning in the yeshiva on a level that's very high with a great understanding of every Rashi and Tosfos, and now you're going to give that up to go fulfill your Mikra Megillah, that's called Bittul Torah. That's called Bittul Torah. Yet the Gemara still says we should go ahead and do that because we have a mitzvah to do the Mikra Megillah on Purim. So anyway, so that's an interesting caveat that you mention from that Gemara. But be it as it may, Rav Soloveitchik extracted from this Gemara the following. Said Rav Soloveitchik, so when does this Isser kick in? So if I wake up 6 o'clock in the morning, and Shacharis is not till 9, so when does the Isser of reading Suvim start? What would he say? When the rabbi gives the drasha. That's when the Isser kicks in, because we don't want you to get too caught up and not go to the rabbi's drasha. So Rav Soloveitchik, in his own interpretation, it's a brilliant insight, but he said that the mechayiv of the rabbi's drasha is once we read from the Sefer Torah, and the community gets a little taste of what the psukim and the chumash are, and now they're curious, what do these psukim mean? What do we learn from all these psukim? That's when the rabbi is obligated to give his drasha. After we read the psukim, and now people have a little bit of a taste of what the Torah is, now it's the rabbi's obligation to explain what it is. That's why the drasha comes after the laning. You see from there that the drush is supposed to be somehow connected to the laning we just did, just parenthetically. So anyway, so that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. So therefore he answered, this is the reason why we lane the Megillahs before Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. If you're going to wait till after Kriyas HaTorah, then the Isser of Kriyas HaKsuvim kicks in. Because that's the time for the Rabbi's drusha. Once it's the time for the Rabbi's drusha, you can't read the Megillah. So what do? We lane it before. Why do we lane it before? Even though it violates Tadr V'Sheno Tadr, still, we're going to lane it before. And why do we not do the same when Purim, when we lane the Megillah Esther? Purim is not Shabbos. Purim is not Shabbos. Purim falls out during the week. So because Purim falls out during the week, we should go back to the regular rule. Of course the Megillah should go after the Kriyas HaTorah because Tadr V'Sheno Tadr Tadr Kodem. Makes a lot of sense.
Yom Tov has the same status as Shabbos?
What?
Yom Tov during the week has the same status as Shabbos?
Yom Tov during the week, yeah. Yom Tov is Yom Tov, yeah.
I'm saying in terms of the drasha.
Like yeah.
There's a few drasha on
yeah, Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have an obligation. So, the problem, this all sounds very nice, the problem is, the Babli tells us the reason why if Purim falls out on Shabbos, we don't lay in the Megillah is because Shema Yavirenu. The same fits in with everything else. The Yerushalmi says the reason why you don't lay in the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos is because there's an Isser of Kriyas HaKsuvim. So Rav Soloveitchik was a little stuck. One of the Talmidim asked him, you came up with this beautiful interpretation that the reason why we lay in the Megillahs Rus and Shira Shirim and Koheles before is because, well, after the Kriyas HaTorah, the Isser kicks in. Well, how does the Yerushalmi say the reason, if Purim falls out on Shabbos, that you're not able to lay in the Megillahs Esther is because there's an Isser Kriyas HaKsuvim? What do you mean? Why don't you just lay in it before Kriyas HaTorah, then you get rid of the Isser? What do you say to that? It's a good kasha. So, everyone following the question? Is it clear? So Rav Soloveitchik answered, is it clear?
Yeah.
So Rav Soloveitchik answered, no. Because by Mikra Megillah it says, Kol Hayom Kasher the Mikra Megillah. In order to have the opportunity to lane the Megillah, it has to be that you can lane it at any point during the day. Over here, where it's going to fall out on Shabbos and you're restricted, there are certain times on Shabbos you could lane, certain times on Shabbos you can't lane, certain hours that are off limits, said Rav Soloveitchik, that's not Purim. Purim is Kol Hayom Kasher the Mikra Megillah. It's an amazing teretz. It's a brilliant. Anything to save is good shot. So, I don't know. But I think it's very interesting that Rav Soloveitchik answered that, no, when it comes to the Mikra Megillah on Purim, you need to have that you can lay it all day long because that's the obligation. That's the Chovas Hayom, that we should lay in the Megillah today on the day of Purim. Masha'enke, when it comes to all the other takanos of laning, Rus, Shirashirim, and Koheles, that would not be the same as the laning of the Megillah's Esther on Purim itself. Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, yeah, it's kosher. You can read the Megillah all day. Shouldn't you do it at the earliest time possible?
Yeah, but what if something comes up and I can't, right? So what if I went on a Hatzalah call, now I show up to at 11 o'clock and I didn't lane the Megillah yet? So what are you going to tell me? Oh, now you can't lane? Forget it? Purim for you is over? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. The Yerushalmi is telling us, that's why when Purim falls out on Shabbos, out! We're going to lane a different day. That's what he answered. So we spoke a little bit about Megillas Rus, about some of the customs, some of the interesting Minhagim, some of the differences. But what is the reason why we lay in Megillas Rus? And with this we'll close. It's almost 10 o'clock. So there are many reasons that are given why we choose to lay in Megillas Rus on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So the Shari Tshuva says maybe the reason why is because, as we know, David HaMelech passed away on Shavuos. So Rus is the lineage of David HaMelech, so we may as well read a little bit about the history of David HaMelech by reading Megillas Rus. Okay, that's one suggestion. Other suggestions are that Megillas Rus is all about Geirus, right? Because Rus and Naomi were all talking about Geirus, and they were figuring out whether they should, how they could be Megayer and what they should be Megayer. And Shavuos is the time when we became Geirim. That's when we accepted the Torah. We went through a Geirus process, the Jewish people. So therefore we lay in the Megillah about Geirus. But the Medrash says a very different reason. Look at the Medrash. Why do we lay in Megillas Rus on Shavuos, says the Medrash, and Megillah Zu Ein Ba Lo Tumah Velo Tahara Lo Heter Velo Iser? We don't learn halachos out of Megillas Rus. So why do we have the Sefer if you don't learn anything out of it? What's it a waste of time? Just a story about Rus and Naomi and Arpa and what do I care about the story? And Boaz, he gave her to eat, he didn't give her to eat. What's the difference? If you're not going to learn halacha lemaisa, what's the point? Says the Rish, l'lamedcha, the whole objective of reading Megillas Rus is schar shel gomel chasadim. It's to teach us the centrality, the importance of being a gomel chesed. V'hatorah kula chesed hu shenemar, V'toras chesed al lishona. V'atorah nitna v'chagah Shavuos. So because Shavuos is the time when we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah, and Megillas Rus is all about the chesed that Boaz does with his relative, with Rus and with Naomi and with everyone involved in the story. Therefore, we make sure to highlight this on the Chag HaShavuos to remind ourselves that Torah is not supposed to be a one-dimensional experience. Torah needs to be an experience that's going to fuse together the opportunity of us connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God Himself, but also with the community, with other people, of learning how to do chesed. That's a major part, that's an integral role of being Mekabel Torah. It's not just between you and God. It's between you and God and between you and God's children as well. That's all part of our obligation. As the Gemara says in Sota Daf Yudalit, Torah Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim V'Sofa Gemilas Chasadim. The bookends of the Torah are, on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes clothing for Adam and Chava. He shows that he's a Baal Chesed. He's willing to provide for human beings. And the bookend on the other end of the Torah is, he goes ahead and he buries Moshe Rabbeinu. He's involved in Gemilas Chasadim, in Chesed Shel Emes. Therefore, the Torah, since it's bookended by Gemilas Chasadim on the one hand, Gemilas Chasadim on the other hand, is to teach us that that is the fabric of what the Torah is all meant to be about. It's not just between you and God. This is what we learn when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the Luchos, and he sees that the whole Jewish people is serving Avodah Zarah, and he's wondering what's going on. Vayashlech miyadu, he throws it out of his hand. Asks Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, why is he throwing them out of his hand? Why does he just throw one side? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. They're violating the Aveira of Avodah Zarah. So throw that side out. What about Losirtzach? Why don't you keep that? Isn't that important? Losinov, Losignov. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter answered, no. Because both of them have to go hand in hand. They have to work in tandem. If you don't understand Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you don't understand Lo Sirtzach either. It's all out the window. It's all or none. If you can't figure out how to make that perfect tension, how to strike the perfect balance between your relationship with Hashem and your relationship with other people, then you're misunderstanding everything that the Torah is all supposed to be about. And that's why we lay in Rus on Chag HaShavuos, to remind us that Gemilas Chasadim, that having sensitivity, that having compassion for other people, is such an integral role in everything that the Torah is meant to teach us and everything that the Torah is meant to guide us in our lives. Let's just close with one story. Rav Matzel Katz was the Rosh Hashiva. Do we have a minion from Arav here? Raise of hands. Almost, okay. Rav Matzel Katz was the Rosh Hashiva and tells, and he was once sitting on an airplane, like all good stories seem to happen on airplanes. So he was sitting on an airplane and an unaffiliated Jew was sitting next to him, and he turns to him and he says, Rabbi, I understand you're the head of a yeshiva. Can you explain to me? I used to be religious, but I gave it all up. I know I gave it up because I read so many articles about Jews who are cheating in income taxes and cheating their fellow people in business. It's awful. How do you explain all these religious Jews who are cheating like this? And we can, unfortunately, we can identify with this very well in our generation. So Rav Matzel Katz turns to this Jew and he says to him, you know, Rav Yehuda, I want to ask you, how could it be? How do you explain? I've been wondering for so long. All those religious Jews who call themselves religious, who drive to shul on Shabbos and who eat on Yom Kippur, how do you explain them? So the guy turns back to me and says, Rosh Hashiva, I don't understand. Those people are not religious. They're driving to shul on Shabbos, they're eating on Yom Kippur. Rav Matzel Katz said, and neither are those. Because the same God that told us not to drive to shul on Shabbos and not to eat on Yom Kippur is the God that told us to treat other people's money with respect. is the God that told us that those sirtach and those sinof and those signov is all of the same importance and the same centrality. And if you don't believe in that part of the Word of God, then you don't believe in this part of the Word of God either. That's what the Torah is meant to do. It's a perfect balance of the way we lead our lives in all the different areas in which we interact with human beings and with God Himself. And this is something to keep in mind as we go into the Yom Tov of Shavuos, why we read the Megillah of Rus, as the Medrash says, because it's all about to teach it us.